Thank you very much. You may be seated. It's our privilege this morning to listen to our dear brother Hendrik, who's going to share the word. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God?
Yes.
Amen. Hendrik is not only a friend of this church, but he's more than that. He's a him and Tabitha's. They're actually members. The people in Shofar doesn't know it yet, but they're actually members, and we're so privileged to have you. Craig is on his last weekend away, and he sends his regards. But we're going to listen to Hendrik and the Holy Spirit talking through him in this morning. And so let's just pray. Father, we thank you that Hendrik has made that decision a long time ago to say, give me Jesus. And we open our hearts in this morning as he shares Jesus with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Dion. Thank you, band. Good morning, everyone. Goeiemôre. It is really wonderful to be here. I love your church. That's why I'm a member here as well. Yeah, and my wife. It's just always so encouraging to come here and just always see just how things develop and change and how you guys evolve as a movement, as a church here in Kleinmond, as you grow. And I am truly humbled because I know it's not you all here, it is Jesus in you that is doing the work. And I can see the hunger and the thirst for Jesus in this house. And it is extremely encouraging to be here. Thank you, band, for the worship. Andre, Shamay, Santi, Yila Amo, friends of mine as well. You guys are really privileged to have such an amazing team. Amen? Amen. And Dion and Francie and everyone. But before I start, I just want to pray for us as well. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this glorious rain that is falling outside. Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you are here in our midst, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, thank you that we can touch you, that we can feel you, that we can hear you this morning. And we pray, just as Dion just echoed, Father, that your words will be heard. Holy Spirit, that you will come and convict, that you will come and do the work, that you will come and speak to our hearts. Not the words of man or any wisdom or revelation of man, but of you, Jesus. We say thank you that you are here with us. I pray now that our ears will be receptive, that our hearts will be ready to receive from heaven this morning, and that it will grow in us and bear much fruit in this world out there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the last time that I was here, I had some computer issues, but I did get my computer back for those of you that do remember that. So just a little disclaimer, the morning that I was supposed to, well, I did preach here, but the morning I went through my message, and that was the final stages of load shedding. The Sunday morning, an hour before we came, I opened my laptop and it didn't want to go on. My laptop eventually burnt the motherboard, and I had to write my sermon for the last preach here out of my head, and I had about 20 minutes. But I believe God is faithful. That is just the God that we serve. So it's an absolute privilege for me to be here this morning with my laptop that is now fixed. Okay, so we were busy singing about how God changes. Actually, I think it's the second last song where we sang, this is the Afrikaans, and verander deur die heiligheid van heerlikheid tot heerlikheid. It's such a beautiful lyric. It's so a mooi liedjie daai. En dis regtig wat ek sien in hierdie gemeente, en dis wat ek vertrou van nog, en dis wat ek gebid het. That's what I really prayed for this morning, is Lord, what can I bring to such a vibrant and energetic church that is so healthy, that is so busy, that is so doing your work? And I do believe the Lord wants to encourage some, maybe all of us here. I believe he wants to encourage all of us this morning. So I pray and ask that you will hear from that you will receive encouragement from the Lord, as he is the one that changes us through his holiness. Now quickly, maybe if you're sitting next to someone, just quickly share a moment in your life where you felt that you had the opportunity to do something. You had a choice you could make, had a choice to do something, but you chose not to because you thought it might be too hard or it's going to be difficult for you to do that thing. So you ended up not saying yes. And then you ended up deeply regretting it afterwards. I think many of us had moments like that. Maybe quickly just share with the person next to you if you had a moment like that. Or well, some of you, you never have any regrets about your choices. I think some of us, we do have some war stories. We do have some moments where we wish we could go back and say yes. I think if I asked it the other way around, some of us would say, I wish I said no, right? Okay. But yeah, in all seriousness, there are many times in our lives where we come to that place where we confronted with a choice. And we want to see something happen in our lives. We want to see change happen in our lives. We want to achieve something. We want to attain to something more or rise to something more. But very often, when we look at the thing that we need to say yes to in order to achieve that, it becomes very difficult for us to commit. And then we say no. We weigh up the expectation and that expectation of the outcome. My wife, I gave her this line this morning and I had to explain it. But the expectation of the outcome outweighs the reality of our circumstances. So I'll say that again. The expectation of the outcome outweighs the reality of our circumstances. We see what is there, but we look what is here. And it doesn't make sense for us to be there. So we just say no. We're comfortable with where we're at. And I promise I'm getting to a point here. It's not all very in the air yet. I know for a fact that if I want to get fitter, I have to get up an hour earlier in the morning. That's just my life at the moment. And to do that, especially when heaven sings like this every morning, it's very difficult to get up an hour earlier. Some of us sitting here, we know we want to spend more time with family. We know we want to do whatever it is that we need to do. But for that to happen, certain things need to be put in place. And it's not always easy. Am I right? Yes? Is it just me? You guys sorted? So that's something that I've been wrestling about the last couple of months. And the Lord just showed me time and time again through Scripture, from the old to the new, just until where we are at, that the Lord has always made a way for us to endure these times, to persevere in these times, and to thrive in these times, and to be fruitful in these times. Now, a scripture that we all know very well, Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship, Christ's workmanship, some translations say, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, the master creator. He created us in Christ Jesus in the image of the Son, so that for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should do them. Now, when we read the scripture many times, oftentimes we can actually get the scripture confused. We can think because of the works created, it's not works. We the works equal the transformation. The good things that we do brings that transformation in our lives. But it's actually, it's upside down. It's the transformation that God gave us through the Son, Jesus Christ. This produces the change. This produces the good works. This produces this beautiful, fruitful calling that God has placed and has ready for us long before we even knew that. It's a calling that God actually, as Scripture tells us, desires us to walk in. It's profound. But we have to choose. We have to choose it. You see, we know God's heart for man was never to be oppressed, to be in slavery, to be in bondage of the things of this world, to be held captive and oppressed by the wickedness of this dark world that we live in. And for us as believers, that means saying no to the temptations, to the wickedness, to the evilness and the schemes of the enemy. And it means saying yes to God's purpose and plan for our lives as His chosen sons and daughters. Now, this morning, I'm sharing on Your Yes is Blessed. I've changed this title so many times so that it sounds catchy in some way. But blessed is Your Yes. Your Yes is blessed. Blessed is Your Yes. I've changed it so many times. But what it comes down to is when we say yes to Jesus, our lives look different. Our lives are blessed in so many ways. So many ways. And this morning, I just felt the Lord say, let's just unpack that yes. What does that yes look like? It's such a Christianese type of a term. Your yes is blessed. Say yes to Jesus. Yes, we understand what that means, but do we really understand what that means when we say yes to Jesus? Now, what are we saying yes to when we say yes to Jesus? Now, very recently, I heard this quote. I'm going to try and remember it without reading there, but it says, okay, I have to read a little bit. When we say yes to the stuff we know is not for us, we miss out on the stuff we know God created just for us. I'm going to say it again. When we say yes to the stuff we know are not for us, we miss out on the stuff or the things we know God created just for us. Now, about 16 years ago, there's a story. About 16 years ago, there was a young man, and he was in church, and he was fellowshipping in church with his friends, and from a distance, he saw a couple walking out of the church before the service started. The couple was walking to the door, and this young man felt prompted to get up and to go speak to those people, to speak to that couple. He's never seen them, and he went to speak to that couple, and he engaged with that couple. Eventually, they started connecting and started learning more about each other. And eventually, that couple, their lives were changed forever. If it wasn't for that young man's obedience to go and speak to the new people, just like, I think it was, who greeted me at the door? Tom. So, what is your name with the blue? Tom. Did I remember it correctly? I met that Tom yesterday as well. You remind me of him. It's very interesting. Tom greeted me so beautifully at the door when I came in there. Such an amazing person, right? You guys are very blessed with the people that you have in this church serving. If it wasn't for the Toms of this world, if it wasn't for that young man who greeted that couple, I would never have stood here today, because it was me and my wife that was walking out of the church. She wanted to stay. I wanted to go. I was at a turning point in my life where my faith, I didn't really believe in this Jesus. I didn't see him in this world. But if it wasn't for the Toms of this world, those people that are saying yes to Jesus and doing what he asked from us, I would never have been here. You say, when we say yes to Jesus, we say, here I am, Lord, reporting for duty. What do you need me to do? Where do I need to go? Send me. What is it that pleases you today? That's what it means when we say yes to Jesus. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, how do we know in our lives we are in a moment where we have to choose? I mean, all of us sitting here, we love Jesus. I heard it sounded like most of you sang this morning or worshiped this morning. By the way, we just had our Awaken Women's Evening on Friday evening, 320 women singing together. It sounded like angels. But man, just in the presence of the Lord, when we sing together, I mean, it's so easy to say that we said yes. I'm here, I'm worshiping the Lord. I've said yes. But we have to ask ourselves, when I said yes to the Lord, does my life reflect that? Because when I say yes, I say, here I am, Lord, reporting for duty. Send me where you want me to go. Give me my orders. What are the things that please you? Who must I talk to? Where must I stay? If we have to reflect back to our lives today, what are we reporting to? What are we standing in front of and saying, send me, give me my orders? In whose name or what name are we operating? Are we reporting maybe to fleshly desires? Are we reporting to success? Are we reporting to power? Are we reporting to our careers? Are those the things that are actually sending us? Are those the things that are dictating the way we go out into this world? Are we reporting maybe to substance, the substances in our life? Are we reporting to escapism? We don't want to deal with reality, so we rather just spend hours and hours and hours on the couch just diving into series, or for some it's gaming or something like that. What are we reporting to? Who and what is giving the orders in our lives? What are we saying yes to? And it's a challenging concept. Trust me, I'm deeply challenged by this as well. But then we have the wonderful promise of God's word to guide us on this journey of truly committing to Him and following in His calling that He has given us, that He has made ready for us. Matthew 6, verse 33 to 34, it says, "But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I'm sure most of us here, many of you, can probably cite this out of your head. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Yeah, we've read the scripture so many times, and again, it's just one of those profound scriptures that always encourages us in so many ways. But as man, as fallible human beings, it's so easy for us to just take the portions out that help us. "I'm going through hell, but don't worry." The Lord says, "Do not worry." Yes, that's part of the scripture. That is true. That is true. What are we saying yes to? Jesus is saying, if we say yes to Him, if we say yes to the things that please Him, yes to the things that He desires for us to bring into this world, to shine His light so that this world can see heaven through us, through His believers, if we say yes to those things, His kingdom is revealed on this earth. And with that comes a promise that we do not have to be driven by the things of this world. We do not have to worry because we seek Him first. We take our orders from Him. We say yes to Him. Make no mistake, in this life, when we say yes to Jesus, if we follow His calling, if we committed to Him, your yes will be challenged. Your yes will be challenged. Dion shared it here last week. He said the parcel does not, what did he say? The parcel does, or the promise does not match up with the parcel. Awesome message if you haven't heard that. The promise does not match up with the parcel. You see, you signed up for something with the expectation in mind, but then you get there and you see, I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I signed up for. Now, yesterday someone shared a little video with me. I'm not going to show it now. But it's very powerful. It's very powerful. And I'm careful to share this, but I feel the Lord said it's okay. I can share it. In this video, it's a pastor talking about church hurt. And he says, how many of us have experienced church hurt? Church hurt. We've all heard it. Church hurt. Church hurt. And then he goes on to say, at our jobs where we work, people talk behind our backs. They lie. They cheat. They do things that bring us down, yet we don't say we have job hurt and leave our jobs. It's challenging. It's challenging. At school, you go through a tough time. Maybe kids get bullied or the teacher is unfair with your marks, or you have to study real hard and it's cutting into this time and this time. We don't say we have school hurt and leave. We actually get our diploma. We get our school diplomas. We get our results. We study to get good marks. University, you get taught by an atheist lecturer. You get taught things that you don't necessarily agree with, but you don't have that university hurt. You go and you get your degree in this life. Everything around us in life. But for some reason, it's so easy for us as believers to say, I'm facing this spiritual battle. I'm just leaving. I'm giving up. It's so easy for us to do that. And the Lord wants to encourage each one of us this morning that it's in those times,
more than ever that we need to press in, that we need to seek Him and trust Him, because He has a beautiful, fruitful calling waiting for us, ready for us to walk into that if we just say yes. And He is with us. You're following the Lord's call and you're met with severe challenges, severe doubt and fear and possibly regret, and you feel you want to run away. Many of us, we've been there before. We've been there before. But then the Lord comes again and He just drops these amazing scriptures, these amazing revelations for us in His Word. In Matthew 10 verse 18 to 20 He says, "You will be brought before governors and kings for My name's sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you, that in that hour you should speak, for it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Do not worry about what you will say, what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour." For many of us, we feel like, "Oh Lord, where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" This is one song that says, I think it's Toby Mac, he says, he's never early, he's never late, but he's going to stand by what he says. He makes it rhyme. But he says, he's never early, he's never late. The Lord's timing is perfect. He says, "For in that hour, I will tell you what to speak." It's not you. It's not any of us sitting here. It's not because we have arrived, we are perfect. It's because His Holy Spirit speaks in us. Hold on. Maybe even within that last hour, hold on. That word worry actually translates, if you go and look at what that word worry means, it actually means distraction, to disunite, to divide, being preoccupied with anxiety, pressure, and stress of a situation and being distracted by it. That's actually what that word means. Jesus tells us to worry is divisive in our lives, and it causes disunity in our lives. He says, when we find ourselves in rooms we are not qualified for, in other words, when we are at a challenging situation, when we are confronted with the reality of the fact that the expectations are outweighing my current reality, dinge om my is heeltemal te groot en te woes vir my. Ek kan nie hier wees nie. When we are in those spaces, the Lord says, take heart, because My Holy Spirit in you will guide you. He will guide your speech. He will guide your thoughts. He will be with you. One of my favorite portions of scripture, it's a short book, if you can read it, there's just so much substance in that book that we can learn from God's character, but his chosen people. But in Nehemiah, we all know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, wat die muur gebou het. He went back to Jerusalem. He felt the Lord sent him to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they were destroyed. And there's one portion of scripture that so beautifully just always encourages me when I go through a tough time. And it says, and it's from chapter 4, and it's from verse 8. It says, "And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it." This is all the different tribes that were left remaining when the tribes of Israel were scattered and the exiles could return back home. These people stayed behind. They felt they are the true chosen ones, and they opposed those coming to rebuild. They attacked them in so many different ways, verbally, physically. So imagine Nehemiah and his crew, they were building the walls and then they're facing all this opposition from all sides. They plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. I'm skipping to verse 13. And it says, "So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I, Nehemiah, stationed people by their clans, with their swords, their spears, and their bows." So these guys were building, but they were also ready to fight. "And I looked and I arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers and your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Do not be afraid of them. No matter how valid of an excuse we think we have, or how much reason we think we have to justify the fact that we are not equipped to fully follow Jesus, we don't have what it takes to meet his standards. We will never have what it takes on this earth to meet his standards. But man, we can try. We can try. We can aim for that. But what the scripture is encouraging us, what the word teaches us, what God's word is teaching his sons, his daughters, us in this room today is, no matter how valid of an excuse you think you have, how much you can justify the reason in your life for not giving God your full yes, his faithfulness endures through the promise of his word. We've seen it happen in our lives. Scripture tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that encouraging for us? Are you still with me this morning? His faithfulness endures through the promise of his word. You see, he's the one that calls us. He's the one that qualifies us. Not our enemies. Not this world around us. God calls us. God calls you and you and me. And I want to please him. I want to follow him. And if he says I'm worth it, I'm made in his image, man, I'm going to report for duty and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Where do I need to go? Who do I need to speak to? What do I need to do? Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. Just like Nehemiah encouraged his fellow men. A few months back, it was Father's Day. My wife bought me a kettlebell for Father's Day. It's a weight, for those of you that don't know. For no hukum. So the last couple of months, yeah, a lot of things happened in our lives. We moved and things happened. We planted another youth in Armonis as well. So we quite busy and schedules change and that. And every now and then, my wife, she plays netball. For those of you that don't know, I'm not going to ask her to stand, but she's quite tall. She plays netball. And we both love to compete. We both love to be in sport, to be active, to be team players. But I couldn't fit it in my life. And I every now and then complained and threw it in a conversation. Oh, you're so lucky. I just wish. And then she bought me a kettlebell for Father's Day. And it was a great gift. The weight itself, it's probably a little too light for me. Yeah. But the weight of the power of the gift is it outweighs everything. Because I got that assistance, I got that little bit of encouragement that I needed to continue. I'm on a journey. It's a journey. It's a process. I'm getting there again. But it's the small things. And sometimes we just need the Nehemiahs. We need the Calebs. We need the Mordecais. We need the Jonathans in our lives to assist us with a kind word of encouragement. You can do it because the Lord has done it. And you know the Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded. You see, when we confronted with the reality of coming to that place where the world around us makes it difficult for us to say yes, we must remember who God is and who he was in our lives. And what he can do, what he did, and what he still will do. Sometimes we just need that little encouragement. Sometimes we need to be those who encourage. Now, many of us, we've heard this saying before, don't be a prisoner of your past. You're a prisoner of your past. And we cannot allow past failures or past mistakes. Many of us sitting here, we're still living in that. Certain things in our lives that they've got this hold on us, this unhealthy hold on us. We're in bondage to that thing that things that happened in the past, maybe how we grew up, maybe something we did in the past, we're still holding on to those things. We are prisoner of our past. Now, we products of our past, yes. But God's desire for us is not to be prisoners of our past. See, Moses killed a man. Joseph was sold into slavery. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Peter betrayed Jesus. Paul sought to kill all those who follow Jesus. We might be products of our past, but we are not prisoners of our past because of what Jesus has done for us. He came to set us free from those things. If those guys didn't say, "Yes, Lord, here I am," what would our lives look like today? Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Because my past does not dictate my future. The things that happened here does not defy who I am in Christ. Amen? Eventually, we have to decide. We have to decide for ourselves. Are we saying yes to our circumstances and no to God because of who we are and what we did? This morning, I want to encourage you. We can say yes to Jesus because of whose we are and what He did for us. We belong to Him. We are His. He paid that price. He bridged that gap for us. In Him, we can walk and we can change and we can have a new life. And we can report for duty and say, "Lord, here I am. Ready. Send me wherever I need to go, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging. Send me, Lord." You see, when God calls us, and that's the amazing thing about God. I've probably got so many testimonies that I can share regarding this, but when God calls us, He's already gone through the CV. He's already done the interview. Man, He's already done the aptitude test. He's saying, "Here is the job. Will you take it? Here is your job. Will you take it?" How many of us still feel we're at that place where we still need, our CV is not good enough. Our spiritual CV is not good enough. So we can't fully commit. How many times do we feel, "I don't know what to say. I can't speak in front of people. I can't pray in corporate environments. How can I fully commit to this Jesus?" Jesus is the one that qualifies. Jesus is the one that sees your past. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He's calling you. He's calling you and He's calling me. He's calling us, His children. He's saying, "In me, because of what I have done, that transformation leads to this beautiful, fruitful calling coming from that transformation. And it's my desire, says the Lord, for you to walk in that." We have a purpose. Each one of us sitting here, we have a purpose. You might go through this life thinking things are okay. Everything is all right. There's no major fires burning. I'm happy the way I am. God's desire for us, if you come to know Him, if you come to press into Him and really understand just what that yes means, you will be on fire for what He wants to do in your life. Your life is going to look different. You're going to face that challenge at work, but it doesn't matter because you know the one who overcame. You're going to face that challenge at school. It doesn't matter. You know the one who overcame. You're going to be confronted maybe with life or death. Doesn't matter. You know the one who overcame death. That gives us great hope. That gives us great purpose. Just remember the one who is calling you. Remember who's the one that is calling you. Who is calling us? In Exodus 3, verse 10 to 12, and this is Moses at the burning bush. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh," God speaking to Moses, "that you may bring my children out of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses says, "Who am I?" I almost call this sermon, "Who am I?" as well. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children out of Israel, Egypt. So he said, "I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. In Acts 7, verse 35 to 37, Luke writes here, this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of an angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and the Red Sea and the wilderness for 40 years. You don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. But I know who knows what it looks like. I know who's sending me. I know who's the one that said, I've made a plan for you through my son. Are you reporting for duty? Are you ready? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. Moses had all the excuses in the world. I cannot speak. I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm old. God says, but I am. I am. I'm God. I will certainly be with you. God sent this man as both ruler and redeemer. It's the apostles speaking about the faithfulness of the Lord. We have to ask ourselves this morning, I know it's a bit tense, but we have to ask ourselves this morning, am I reporting for duty? Am I saying, yes, Lord? Do I know what that means? When I say yes, Lord, do I also know I don't have to be discouraged by my yes? That my yes is blessed. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I can say yes, Lord. I'm going to ask the band to come up. You guys can maybe actually, I say bandy. Doen jy dit? Okay, band. It's an easy spiel. So want us for a few moments, maybe just take a minute or two. Let's close our eyes. Just reflect maybe where we are at in life. What are we reporting to? What am I saying yes to? Am I saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Reporting for duty. You see, Abraham's yes made him the father of all nations. Moses' yes led God's people out of slavery. And Samuel's yes led to so many amazing things. Amongst others, anointing King David. The prophet Isaiah's yes led to him being one of the greatest prophets, prophesying about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, to the world. Ananias, although we don't know much about him, his yes led to Paul's physical eyes being opened, but also the spiritual renewal of confirmation of what God has been speaking to Paul. God used a man like Ananias. Paul's yes changed Christianity forever, and Jesus' yes changed this world forever. This morning, I want to encourage each one of us. Even where you're sitting now, say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to stay? Where do you want me to move? John 16, verse 33, Jesus tells us, He tells his disciples, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world. We have been saved, we have been called and we have been sent by the one who has overcome this world. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope to walk out of here today and to live my life to the fullest I can for Jesus. Until one day I am perfect with Him there. But until that day, man, I'm going to give Him my full yes. You see, saying yes to God does not mean smooth sailing for the rest of your life. Not at all. We know that. But it does mean that the Holy Spirit will be that wind in your sails as you move forward. And it does mean that Jesus, the captain of our ship, is in our ship. This is Jesus, the same Jesus to whom the winds and the waves obey. Now this morning, I'm going to ask us all to stand, if you don't mind, while we're in this atmosphere just of reflecting to the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that have never made that call, ever, to say, Jesus, I want to say yes to you. I want to surrender. No, I want to yield. In other words, I want to lay down everything in my life to you. And I want you as my Lord and my Savior. If there's anyone here this morning that you've never made that decision, and you want to say that this morning, Father, come and take up your rightful place in my heart as my Lord and Savior. If that is you this morning, I want you to please, if you don't mind, not just even raise your hand, come to the front. We want to pray with you. If that is you this morning, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. There's no better time than now to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. If there's anyone here like that, you're welcome to come to the front. And with that, I want to make an invitation out this morning. If there's anyone here that feel they want to renew that commitment, where they said yes to Jesus at some point, they you feel maybe I've allowed the things of this world to change my perspective on my yes. If there's anyone here this morning that feel they want to recommit their yes to Jesus, and say, Father, here I am, ready, send me. If that is you this morning, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand if that is you. You say, yes, Lord, here I am. Father, this morning we just say thank you, Lord, for each hand that went up, Lord, and for every heart that opened up for your working. We say this morning, Lord, we report for duty. We say, help us through your Holy Spirit to show up every day as we sang this morning with praise in our hearts, to show up expectant, knowing that you're going to change things around us. Knowing that your Holy Spirit changes us from glory to glory. Father, this morning we just stand in awe of all the works of your hand. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your word and that we can rely on your word. I pray, Lord, that you will grant each one of us in this room, that you will grant us a measure of boldness to say yes and to commit to you fully in everything that we do in this life. To not run from you when things are tough, but to run to you when things are tough in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you have made a way through your Son that we can do that. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of the cross. We glorify your holy name. And we say, continue to work in us. Continue to speak to us. thank you, Father, that you bless our yes. And that your word tells us you are with us always. And we give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Hendrik. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. May you experience the Holy Spirit in every day of your life. Amen. I want to encourage you, in line with what Hendrik preached and the two prophetic words that came out, if you're here in this morning and you haven't said yes, and you didn't have the courage to say yes, come forward after the service. There will be people who will be praying with you, and especially those who've got the pages stuck together with hurt. You've said yes some time ago and it's still hurting. Come forward. We would love to pray with you. Have a cup of coffee with us at the back. We love you. We'll see you next week. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my